Welcome back to Motivation Minute. I am Spencer Harrow, and I'm joined here by Jiraiya Miller.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, our listeners are in for a super treat this week. What do you think?
Same here. I think we say that every time, but I think this one is even more, you know?
It's a super treat for them because we are going to be highly personal in this because this book, I think, at least for me, was hitting home in a way that none of the previous books have hit.
Really? Why is that?
Well, see, for me, okay, the book, we might as well jump to what it is. So it's The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, and the subtitle is great. It's called Turning Simple Disciplines into Massive Success and Happiness. So the thing about this is, I mean, we're going to talk more about this as we go on, but our culture today is wrapped around we need things instant gratification, and we don't want things to take time. But there's something about how time allows success to compound, and that's the whole point of this book. And that's something that I have personally shown that I need to work on because I look at life more instant gratification, I've realized after reading this book, in many areas that I didn't even think about. And there's so many things I could be doing in the positive sense, just a little bit every day that I did not think was worth it originally. But wait, we'll get way more into that as we go.
Exactly.
How about that?
Yeah, I think it's more of a philosophy. It said that The Slight Edge, I guess, is a philosophy similar to the book Essentialism that we talked about previously, is more of a philosophy. It's not as much just, you know, all practical easy tips. It's like a whole way of thinking about things, the way things change. Like you said, I think there's like a myth, you know, that we have that, you know, if you want big results, you have to do big things. And this book kind of just totally tears that apart. That it's, we'll talk about this more, but to get big results, you need to do small things, I think, was kind of the
idea. And that is the crazy thing. To get big results, you do small things. It is so counterintuitive, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It is. And yet, like you said, it's worse nowadays with social media and everything where people want instant gratification or people just don't, they don't automatically assume that it's going to take a long time. Like, I think people in the past, you know, maybe 100 years ago, everything was a lot slower. Things didn't happen so quickly. And so it was just a part of life. I think people were more patient back then.
And now we've got technology ramping up at such an incredible pace that, you know, we are waiting for that next iPhone to come out the next year. It's only been a year, and we're already complaining if it doesn't have enough new features on it and that the developers couldn't have gone fast enough at making the new phone. And then we're all waiting for that Samsung phone coming out in March, and we have this whole cycle going where we just can't wait for that next thing when... What if we just slowed down a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so many things happen actually really fast around us. And so I think the problem is that we think that we need to have things fast, like for ourselves. Like if we don't see things improving and changing and, you know, really fast, then we just get discouraged because it's like a whole, we have to have everything right now.
Yeah, it's like winning the lottery. Like you get everything at once when you win the lottery, right? But what if you just made the right decisions up until that time you would have won the lottery or whatever, and you would have had a ton of money at that point because you saved slowly versus just winning it all randomly. You know, there's a funny thing in the book that said bank presidents never win the lottery.
Really?
They're so much wiser because they know how
to make
money.
They don't even draw in the lottery.
They don't even get a lottery ticket. They know how bad the odds are and that it's so much better because if you put in the time yourself doing the boring, simple disciplines, success will not be a random accident.
Yeah, it's funny how people with money don't do lottery and all the poor people do lottery. Funny how that works. But how about we jump into the first thing, that you, one of your notes that you have, which says success is not a random accident. So what is that?
So, I mean, the whole thing is success is not something that just happens. You know, we were talking in Outliers how it's 10,000 hours that gets you to be an expert. In a similar way, success comes by doing the 10,000 things or however many it is, those small decisions you make every day, those add up cumulatively, not just in a linear sense. You know, something about life is it's not linear, it's geometric. Do you know geometric versus linear?
So, like a curve?
Right. So, geometric is a curve that starts out slowly curving, so it looks like it's linear, but at the end, it starts to go way up in comparison to the linear graph.
Exponentially.
Exactly.
So that's
actually,
how life is.
They're not exactly the same. Actually, no, they are. So exponential has to do with, so if you have a graph of 2 to the x, that'd be, is 2 to the x exponential? We got to figure out what is exponential.
I'm not an engineer.
I forget what that is.
Yeah, you would have fun with that.
See, I feel like it's exponential, but then there's e, which is the exponential perfect number.
Well, regardless of if it's exponential or geometric.
So it is exponential.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hold you back. I don't know why that mixed me up, but no, it's exponential because you have a certain term that gets compounded over and over. So like you take 2 to the x. So 2 to the 0 is 1. 2 to the 1 is 2. 2 to the 2nd is 4. 2 to the 3 is 8. It keeps going up geometrically.
So basically, it's like a graph. So like it's basically just how life works. Eventually, over time, if enough time, basically consistent repeated daily actions plus time equals results. So lots of easy choices add up to a massive change or outcome. So basically, for a long time in your life, this is just how it works, and we don't like this. It's really frustrating that it says, you know, for a long time in your life, for the next, probably if you're listening, the next 10 years of your life, depends where you're at, but it's just going to be, there's no change. Nothing very interesting will probably happen, unless it's forced. It's just going to be basically the same. Like you're going to be on a straight line. But what's happening is you're actually growing very, very slowly. And if you stick with it long enough, all of a sudden it's going to grow exponentially. And that's why you see people that are successful. They simply stuck with it long enough, getting just when they didn't see any progress. And then you also see people who are at a horrible place in their life. So they are depressed or whatever it is. And that's because for a long time, they consistently made bad choices, just small little bad choices here and there. And they didn't notice anything until all of a sudden, exponentially, it got worse. And that's...
Right.
Yeah.
And the whole reason is because those two lines, they look like they're going in parallel for so long. Because the difference in one day versus another day is so insignificant that it looks like they're tracking right next to each other if you were doing the good thing or the bad thing. But as time goes on, they start to diverge more and more and more and more and more until they're complete opposites. But until you get to that way in the distant future, you feel like you're going at the same pace as the other people, and you're like, why am I living the good life and they're living the bad one, and what's the benefit?
Yeah, you look at people that are making bad choices, but they're having fun maybe, and meantime, you're making all these good choices, and it looks like they're having way more fun than you. There's no, you know, it's, but the reason is it takes so long for your choices to have an effect. It takes a long time. But basically said, you're either going up or you're going down. So
right, you're not staying flat at all. You're either making the choice to go up or the choice to go down. Mm-hmm. Like getting up in the morning and deciding, will I exercise today? Well, if you exercise, you keep increasing your up just a little bit more than it was the previous day, the way the geometric curve goes. But if you say no, you start curving down the more no's you say. It feels like, you know, you made all this progress saying yes, then you just say no a few times, you'll level out and plateau. Mm-hmm. No, you just start going down.
Kind of. Well, I think in a way that can happen is because what most people do, I think, is they go through ups and then downs, then ups and downs. People aren't consistent. So they'll make, you know, a whole bunch of bad choices earlier in their life generally. And then as they get older, they realize, wow, this has been horrible for me, so let's start making some good choices. And then they go up, then they probably drop down again. And the problem with that is then you never get anywhere, really. And it says consistency. You have to be consistent with the small things that are actually very boring that you have to do for a long time. And if you're consistently making good choices, eventually good things will happen. It just takes so long to get there.
Right. You look at the example of the people you were just talking about, how, say, someone is successful for a while they're sloping up. But when they start sloping down, they wasted all that potential to keep going up. And in that potential of keep going up, they could have gone up steeper and steeper and steeper than they were when they made the choice to not keep going up. Then they coast down to the bottom and they have to go up again, but they have to regain that momentum that they lost. There's this whole thing, the more momentum you have going in a direction, the harder it is to stop you. And that's what making good choices in life is like.
Wow. Gaining momentum. Yeah, I heard this guy say that losing your momentum is like the worst thing that can happen. If you've been consistently making good choices for a long time, building habits, but you know you're not at that point where you can see results yet, so you just decide to give up. You have been doing the right things for a long time, but you haven't seen the results yet, and so you get discouraged, and then you don't realize you've actually been doing, you know, you've been building up all this momentum, and if you just stick with it a little bit longer, you might have seen some results, but yeah, you don't want to lose your momentum, like you said.
There's a principle in physics called, well, you know, friction, right? But there's two kinds of friction. There's kinetic friction and static friction. So static friction is the amount of friction you have when something is still, and kinetic friction is the friction that's when the object is in motion. So when you're pushing against a huge dresser, the thing's not moving. And you're like, okay, I'll give up. But the thing is, if you can get over that initial hurdle of getting it to move, which has more friction than when you start moving the thing, it takes less force to keep that going.
Yep.
So also, the equation for momentum in physics is mass times velocity. In other words, the effort you're putting in times the amount of time you're putting that effort in. And the more time you keep putting that effort in, you increase your momentum so that it's harder and harder to stop putting that effort in because it's hard to stop you.
Wow.
It's just like moving that giant loaded grocery cart in Costco and you're pushing it along and you have it loaded to the brim. It is hard to stop if someone comes out into your lane.
Yeah.
You almost inevitably hit them kind of hard if they just jump out all of a sudden versus if you have an empty cart, you can stop on an instant because there's no momentum going there hardly.
So yeah, mathematically, the longer you do something, the easier it gets, right?
Right. But then, you know, let's jump back to something we said a few minutes ago. You were talking about how the longer the amount of time you put into something, the more you can get out of it. How long is long enough, do you think?
I guess until you see your results. And obviously, you can be doing something for really long and you don't get results. Maybe that's because you're doing the wrong thing. So maybe you think you're doing the right thing, but maybe you're actually on the downward curve. And then all of a sudden, you end up with, you know, nothing when you're, you know, 40 years old because you've been doing the wrong career, or you just didn't really pay attention. You didn't know you were doing something wrong. But whether you're doing something good or not good, I guess, if you use that categorization, it's going to go exponentially. So you're either going to dive down at some point or you're going to go on the upward curve, I guess. So,
okay, right. So if you have something that's going in the negatives and you didn't realize you were putting in things that would cause you to go negative, that would send you down. But what if you had all the ingredients for a positive life perfectly in place? What would you do? Where would you stop?
I don't know. Well, I think you continue to do the... I mean, I guess I honestly don't know the perfect answer, but I think...
Well, actually, that's the thing I was going to say. I was thinking...
Yeah.
The thing is, you never want to stop.
Yeah.
When you get on that geometric part of the curve where it's going steeper and steeper up, that means you can keep putting that effort in and you get way more return than you ever did when you initially started.
Yes.
And so you might as well not stop because the next day you have more and more effort than you did the day before
that
you get. And so it's like you want that to never end and you always want to go in the positive if possible in a theoretical sense.
Yeah, and that's why I think you can look at this either, it can either be discouraging or it can be... and motivating, I guess, because you know what it is it's going to take so long to get any results. You'll be putting so much in, you know, just doing, and these little, I mean, and what I mean by that is, you know, just these little choices we have to make to eat the right things, to spend time reading books instead of hanging out with friends maybe, or you know, just these little things that we all know we should be doing, these little choices, but in reality they're just little choices. They're not overwhelmingly difficult, but you keep making these choices and you don't see any results. And so it can be discouraging and you think, well, you know, I'm not going to get anything for so long, so why even do it? Or we don't even consciously think that. It just is just a natural thought. Like, it's not going to benefit me for a long time, so I'd rather just not do it. So it's discouraging. Or you can be motivated because you can think, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. And eventually, once I gain momentum, everything's going to be so much easier. And I mean, it really is. It's going to be so much easier to gain more momentum and to accomplish more because of all the momentum you built up in the past. And so I think that can be motivating, because right now, for most people, you probably feel like you're, you know, still at the beginning and you haven't reached like the exponential curve. And in a way, you know, there's always more to gain. So I think you could look at somebody that's ultra successful, and there's still so much more to gain, you know. So it's like you never want to stop. You never want to stop growing, but it does become easier the longer you stick with it, I think.
Here's something personal that I've had challenges with. I was kind of alluding to this earlier in the podcast, that makes the slight edge life really difficult. And that's the thing that, you know, the slight edge is a bit boring in the sense that it's not a dramatic thing. You know, you look at a movie, in 2 hours or a little bit longer, you see a complete storyline unfold from start to finish. And you see everyone, like, that everything goes wrong, there's a conflict, there's rising action, climax, denouement, conclusion. Everywhere in that plot line, you see something happen that's exciting. But our lives, our plot lines are really extended, like multi-year plot lines, and we have tons of subplots happening all the time, and we're always in the middle of something. It's always difficult to realize, hey, I'm not going to move at the same pace a movie's going to move. It takes time for these things in life, and that's all fabricated anyhow. It can't happen that way. They make it look so good, make life look so easy that way, but no, it's these little steps that count. It's, you know, you're in that car, you're driving on a 500-mile road trip one day. Every mile can hurt sometimes on days you don't feel like driving, but you let yourself enjoy it mile by mile, not worrying about the destination. Enjoy that process. Or you stir that cream when you're making the whipped cream, because as you're stirring that cream, it's liquid for a long time, and not one stir of that pot is going to make the cream become more in solid form, but the cumulative effect of all that stirring. Don't worry about the moment, worry about doing the right steps in the moment.
Like I said, a penny doubled every day grows to 10 million in just 1 month.
It's crazy how that works.
It's crazy, you know, one penny, two pennies, four pennies, eight pennies, it's like nothing. But you do that every day, just once a day for a month, you get 10 million.
Think about it. What if you drew that on a graph where you did a positive penny, positive two pennies, positive four, and you did a negative penny, negative two pennies, negative four? Like living in the top 5% of people, or the 95% that don't follow a slight edge. Think about how you feel parallel for so long because there's very little difference between you, but it's at the end, only at the end you see the difference. And then if you keep going at the end, you get the greater difference. You just never want to stop. That's the thing.
It's like, you know, it can work against you. It said the slight edge is either working for you or against you. Basically, it's just a slight edge. So it's not like you're doing drastic things. Most people don't make terrible, just bad decisions their whole life. It's just tiny little bad decisions. Like, am I going to eat M&Ms or carrots, you know? But basically it said, you make one bad decision. Oh, that's just one, like one penny. And then two penny, four pennies, eight pennies, 16 pennies. That's almost nothing.
It doesn't feel significant at all, right?
But you keep doubling it. I mean, in a few weeks, you know, that's a million, whatever you want to, you know, a million.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it says, you know, a lot of society tends to worship breakthroughs and like quantum leaps, or you hear in the news is a good example. You always hear about the big things, like this kid sold an app for $3 billion. You know, 15-year-old kid. You know, that
doesn't happen. Everybody, yeah.
But that's just not reality. That's why. To make $1 billion, I'm gonna have to make an app and sell it. You know, no. The majority of people in reality, most like almost all billionaires, it took them at least 20 years, 30 years to get there. Like Bill Gates. You used to think Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, these top billionaires. They didn't get there overnight. It took them like 30 or 40 years before they were a billionaire, you know?
Yeah. In other words, life is not instantaneous. I mean, we live in this microwave culture, as the author described it, where there's a guy standing in front of the microwave waiting for his lunch to come out. You put it in for 90 seconds, and he's just like, He's clicking his heels, just waiting, and like, I wish this time would go down faster and faster. You know, I find myself doing that sometimes. I stand in front of the microwave wishing it would go faster. But in the grand scheme of my life, how long is that 90 seconds of the microwave really going to hurt me?
Yeah.
Let it happen.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? I mean, I think if you can, I think this is why it's so relieving if you can think, like, you know, it's supposed to take a long time. Like, you have to think in terms of sowing and reaping. You know, if you put in effort into something, it just takes a long time. It's like it's going to take a long time for the seeds to grow. Or the example that you gave of the whipped cream, like, I've done whipped cream, mixed it where it doesn't do anything for a long time, then all of a sudden it just turns extremely thick into whipped cream, you know. So
yeah, it happens so fast when it happens because mm-hmm. you've been putting all that effort in, and it's the way that curve works. It gets better and better the longer you wait.
Yeah, and I like what you put in your notes about just trusting the process, like how we just have to have trust and just dedication and consistency of doing small things. Again, I think that can be motivating because, like, as long as you're on the right path, as long as you're on the upward curve, even if you don't see any results, you can, you know, be motivated because eventually you know you're doing the right things. I mean, you look at almost, you know, you look at it's. It can get so discouraging when you're in the moment of your, like, right now in your life because you don't see any results, and like a lot of people feel lost in life. I think even younger people these days, especially with social media, they're like, I feel like I should accomplish all these things because look at how all these other kids on social media, they're accomplishing all this stuff. And it's just it's terrible. I mean, if you're under 30, basically you could accomplish anything. So you have to think of yourself as extremely young, you know. I mean, the guy that started Kentucky Fried Chicken, forgot his name, he was 60 years old when he started it, and he grew it into a successful chain. Like,
really?
You have to realize that it takes a long time. You're not lost when you're 20 years old. You know, you have so much time. As long as you have to put in effort, but as long as you're putting in a little bit of effort in a good direction, eventually you will it's going to have huge effects down the road. So, yeah.
That's a really good point. Really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it said if it's so simple, why doesn't everybody do it? And says that, you know, things that are easy to do are just as easy not to do. Like, it's easy to do, easy not to do. And, you know, these little things that we could do every day, just little things that are easy, but they're also easy not to do, we could just skip them.
Okay, that was one of the big things I took away from this book, that point, that it is so easy not to do something, and if you don't do it, you're only putting yourself on that negative curve, versus if you do it, like, there's so many things in my day where I just look at it and I say, hey, you know, I wouldn't have to do such and such because, you know, I just don't have to do it today. But what if it's the good thing for me to do today and I end up not doing it? Well, the thing is, I got to just do the thing that's right even if I don't feel like it at the moment, because add it up, that's the result. But that's the thing about this book. It is so boring and simple in the sense that you just have to do what's right in the smallest detail of your life. It's nothing big. It's not like build the biggest business and turn it into mm-hmm. a multi-million corporation. It's just do the small things in life and you will be successful. Yep. But you just have to be consistent about doing those small things.
Yep. It's so, so true. I can think of so many examples actually for that. Like, you know, you see other people doing these things, investing in something. For example, Bitcoin, which I think is great to invest. But, you know, Bitcoin or investing in gold or silver, or you see these trends where people, it's just a craze. And, which is, it's good. Okay, it'd be great to invest in Bitcoin, you know. But the problem is you see that stuff and it's like this thing that you could do right now that's supposed to make you all this money. And generally it doesn't actually work. And even if it does work, that's good. But it's not the proven method. It's if you want to be successful, it's not about investing in some stock or Bitcoin that's going to rise super fast. It's about focusing on the little things, what's working now. You know, I get tempted sometimes to like invest some money into Bitcoin, but I realize that probably the more proven route for me is just to continue working on my business slowly every day for a long period of time, you know, and that's going to give me a higher rate of success than trying to invest in something. Or, you know, you see people going network marketing, like everybody gets excited about this new network marketing company, but they don't stick with it. And, you know, that could work. If you wanted to be consistent in network marketing and you did that for 10 years, then you'd probably be successful, or same as Bitcoin. But the problem is people look at things like that as like this one-time opportunity where they have to jump in and give everything and they're going to get rich, but that's just not the way it works.
Totally. I love how you called it the proven way, because you know, you can get rich quick, but you don't always get rich quick. You can get rich slowly, and you can always get rich slowly.
Pretty much.
That's the difference.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. I think you, if you try to get rich quick, you probably have a 2% chance of getting rich quick, or because almost nobody does.
It's definitely a lot lower than
if
you
try the slow way. I would say you have a 75 to 90% chance if you do it the slow way and the proven way, I think.
And the thing is, you like, there's some things in life where you'll get caught up and you'll actually get the get-rich-quick thing somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, most of us hit something where we had this get-rich-quick moment, not in money necessarily, but some other idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way life works. You just don't look for that in everything. You look for, in general, to apply yourself diligently with integrity in the small details. And that will consistently reap rewards. And then you just let the get-rich-quick things surprise you when they surprise you. They're just bonuses. They're gravy. They're icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, you don't look for them, though. That's the, yeah, I like how you put that. I think everybody's going to get some type of luck in their life and some type of, you know, bad luck. You could call it whatever you want to call it. Some misfortune and then also some good fortune. But I think you don't focus on those. The mistake people make is they focus on the big things that could potentially happen, and they put all their effort or their, you know, their hope into that, and that's just a really bad way to go.
Yeah. Hey, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Do you want to
switch
gears to something about how to learn? I don't know. Is this a good time for you, or do you have something else you want to say?
Yeah, let's switch gears.
Okay. The reason I wanted to switch gears was because there was this point about how if you want to be twice as successful, what do you think you do?
Buy up all the Bitcoin stocks available.
Right, you could do that. The funny thing is, this book says to be twice as successful, double your rate of failure. Can you believe that? To be twice as successful,
wow,
become two times the failure that you already are. I mean, there's this thing they said that I love how they said it. They said, fail your way to the top.
No way.
Fail your way to the top. That is not what you hear most of the time. People are like, well, just, you know, you be successful by following what I do and, you know, learn from my mistakes and I'll get you rich quick because you follow my exact formula and I'll get you there really fast. No. Fail your way up there. Like, try things yourself sometimes. And when you mess up, you know, we've said this in a couple other episodes. It's like in Startup Nation where your rate of success after you fail is almost as good as if you succeeded. It's just try things. And more importantly, fail twice as much as, like, if you want to succeed twice as much as you are now, fail twice as much as you have been. Like, it's totally opposite what you'd think.
Because you're trying so many things and eventually you figure it out. And I guess in my mind, I'm trying to, how do I reconcile making lots of mistakes, where, you know, because you're either on the upward curve or the downward curve. So if you're constantly making mistakes, I guess it would seem that you're on the downward curve.
So wait a second. Don't reconcile your mind yet, because there was a time where you knew this when you weren't reconciling your mind, and that was when you were a baby, okay?
Okay.
So when babies learn to walk, think about it. They take baby steps. That's what we call them, because they take little steps and then they collapse. And they collapse a whole lot more than they're successful, right? They learn by failing. We all learn by failing.
And I think the difference is if you are aware of it and you're making good decisions and you're doing the right things, but obviously everybody's going to fail. And that means you are on the upward curve. You're doing the right things. Then I think the difference is people who make mistakes as far as just stupid mistakes where, let's say, you don't look both ways before you cross the road, or you just go party and do anything you want, make those types of mistakes. I think that's the difference, where that's, you're on the downward curve because you're not even trying. You know, you're not, I don't know, yeah. So,
hey, but you're still learning in there, because there's going to be a point where you realize, hey, I was making bad decisions at that point.
Yeah, that will. But the thing is, if you're consistently making bad decisions, I guess there's a difference between bad decisions and mistakes, right? or living your life in a way that
is there a difference? Bad decisions versus mistakes.
Well, so if someone with the mindset that doesn't care about learning really, and they just want to have fun and they don't really care, and they just consistently do that for a long enough period of time, I think that's gonna where it's gonna be. They're gonna eventually, for example, and once they hit 30 and they haven't accomplished anything, and now they have a bunch of debt, or so who knows. And that's where it starts growing exponentially in a bad way.
I get what you're saying. It's like you're making a negative impact on your life versus just making a mistake that you fix by going back up, trying to make an upward trajectory. Yeah, it makes sense.
Exactly. Like, it's not about making huge mistakes, I don't think. I think it's about just making, it's about making small things. Like, small mistakes won't hurt you. Because if you're intentionally learning from them. Because then you can get back up and you can continue making the right choices and better choices because you learn from those mistakes.
You know, life is never in a straight line. You think about let's take an autopilot, for example, on an airplane. An autopilot is never flying a straight line. Did you ever realize that?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
An autopilot's always correcting. At my work, there's this lab where they have essentially an autopilot set up with all these servos rotating constantly, and it's for this drone that's flying and they're testing it. Well, as I'm in this lab, those sensors are constantly buzzing, even though the drone's on autopilot, because those sensors are always fine-tuning, because the whole point is it's like a feedback loop, which in engineering is where you're constantly improving something by taking the output of your system, which is the result, and plugging it back into the input and using that to impact what you put in. So you constantly are improving what you're putting in based on what you saw coming out. And that makes it so that, like on autopilot, you go slightly above your course, you start saying, hey, I'm slightly above my course. Okay, I'll start going slightly below. But as you go slightly below, you go a little too far below. You overshoot it, then you go up a little bit. You're never going to hit that straight line. It's all about the whole idea of failing,
like,
because
that
You're constantly correcting.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect analogy, because you're constantly correcting. You're going to go down and then you go back up again. And then you obviously have to make more mistakes. And the more mistakes you make, the more you learn. And so you can continue to go up even farther. But I think it's something that who isn't, I think, and there are lots of people like this. I would say the majority of people, they're not on a feedback loop. They're not improving necessarily. They're just going with life wherever it takes them. And they're trying to have fun and do the easy thing. And that's how lots of mistakes add up over time to have a big impact on their life in a bad way, because they didn't learn. And then obviously, eventually, if something bad happens, you realize, wow, I need to make a change now, finally. I'm 35 years old, no job, because I kept making bad choices my whole life. I think that happens to a lot of people. And then you start making the right choices again and start working your way up. But the problem is you've made so many bad decisions for such a long time that you exponentially, went into a bad place. And so because you were consistently making bad decisions, you weren't correcting, right? I think that's the distinction.
And part of what's interesting is that to build those small success habits that you have, one of the things you can do to turn it in your favor is just show up every day consistently. Like, 80% of the success you have is just by showing up and doing the thing, no matter how well you do it. The fact that you did it
exactly
improves your odds so much more than just not doing it.
Yep, and there's a quote by Charlie Munger, the billionaire that works with Warren Buffett. He said, "Step by step we get ahead, but not necessarily in fast spurts." So it's, we've all heard it, step by step, but it's just so true that it's step by step. It's the little things. It's like you have in your notes said, the slow and steady wins the race.
The classic emphasis on steady, because, it's putting in that effort constantly. I mean, it can be whatever speed it is, but as long as it's consistent.
I really like, the tortoise and the hare story is really making an impression right now. Like, the tortoise, we've all heard the story. And in a way, when I was a kid, it was like, come on, that's just a story. It's not actually very accurate. But it's actually the way things work. The tortoise was slow and steady the whole way. The hare was fast. And then And the problem is that's what most people do. They're really fast, and then they give up.
And that's the thing that, you know, I totally struggled with before I read this book in thinking. I've been a spurt-driven person. I look at, you know, when if I have a task to do, I stockpile that task until there's nothing else but to do that task. And then I knock it all out at once at the expense of everything else going on. And then I move on to something else that I have to knock out all at once at the expense of everything else. Versus just doing a few things every day consistently so that I don't have to take my whole life on hold for one thing when it becomes so important to do that there's nothing else I can do.
Yep, exactly. That's the same way that I am. I think almost everybody is this way unless you intentionally put in an effort to change the way you think, you know, the slight edge philosophy of...
And the problem is we're all taught this way, that spurts are better because they're more efficient, they say. Hmm. Because when you do the same thing over and over, you get faster and faster at it. Like, if you're going to take a drive somewhere, you might as well do the whole drive in one day versus split it up. But the thing is, what if the whole purpose was not to get there? What if the purpose was to enjoy the process? Well, split it up into a few days, enjoy the process of getting somewhere, and you get so much more out of that process of getting there than you would have if you just got it all done at once.
Wow.
It's very opposite of what they teach us.
That's so true. Back to like the penny analogy, it said, you know, a penny will grow into 10 million. A penny doubled every day will grow into 10 million in a month. And so if you would improve, you know, in just 1% every day, you would have improved 365% in a year. And 1% a day isn't that much. But actually, a mentor of mine, actually, he takes it even further. He just brought it up, just said it one time. He said, every 3 months, he, like, evaluates himself and says, and just sees if he's just 1% better, that's a huge improvement in his mind.
Wow.
So if you can just be 1%, I mean, that's, if you think, that just seems really slow and discouraging, but like, because I think most people for their whole life, they try to do things fast and have things now and go for big leaps and big things, and then they end up with nothing. So if you could just improve 1% every month or every 3 months, I guess you would be...
And that is the tough part. It doesn't look like much in the moment. And if you just keep that up, it's like the thing that's so easy to do and the sort of thing that's easy not to do. Like, it would be just as easy not to improve yourself by 1% every day. But if you're spending that time looking for, okay, what's the 1% I need to improve on today? You're going to grow in such a better way because, let's face it, if we put up 1% in a day, we grow 365% in a year. Well, what if we just decided once a year to grow? Well, we're not going to grow 365%. Yeah. It's not an overnight thing. Some things are, but most things aren't. It's putting in that diligent effort. And do you really think you're going to do it once a week? Like, if you put it in once a week, you have to put in 52 weeks, which is 7% a week. Well, it's a lot harder to improve 7% of me than it is to improve 1%, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Instead and of so it waiting, becomes so much more insurmountable, the task, the longer you wait.
Exactly, because you don't wait for a long time, and then you're like, well, I should probably do something now. And so you try really hard, but it's just too difficult because you try to grow so much. And plus, that's not even how the world works. You can't grow. It's like forcing something to happen. Like plants, they grow every day a little bit. They just
right.
grow really slowly.
And we just
slowly.
Don't see that. But then you planted a seed and it turns into this giant tomato plant that you're like having to dig through and find the cherry tomatoes on there because it's just so huge and overtaking your entire, you tied it up. I mean,
and you're like, how did it get here? This huge thing, because that's the thing. Once you have something, you'll be so happy that you put in all that work. Or once you're going to be so happy that you decided to make those small choices every day, you know, over a long period of time, and we just can't see that now. Like, we just want stuff right now. I love this quote. It says that we overestimate how much we can get done in a day, but we underestimate how much we can get done in a year. Because I always put way too many things on my list. Even today, I thought I could get all these things done, and then I realized it's just too much for me to do in one day. But if I just do one of those things, you know, and you can stay consistent every day, it'd be amazing how much you could do in a whole year.
I mean, I think we all can do this. There's so many examples they gave that were so good in the book. You want to go through a few of them?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this.
Okay, so like one was like saving money. What if you took the money that you spent on coffee every day and put it in your savings jar and let that start growing? Like a coffee, $4 a day if you get a latte or something, but like maybe $2 at least. 2 × 7, 14. So it's like 15 a week or something. Then 15 × 4, we're just doing easy math. That makes 60 a month. And then you do the 60 × 12, and that's 720. Did I do that right?
Wow.
12 × 6.
I'm not sure. I'm not an engineer.
I think it's 720.
But at the end of the year, you'd have $720 in your pocket.
And you could put that in a savings, and that would grow by one. Let's say a high yield savings account makes 1%.
Or if you have something more like IRA, maybe, where you get like 7%. That's in 20 years, you're gonna have $100,000. Let's just say $100,000 from
crazy.
That. From that.
Just one coffee put aside every day for a year, like
gives you $100,000.
We should all do this.
So you could basically, then, if you did that right, in 20 years from now, you could have $100,000 because you didn't drink that coffee.
And is that one thing that we said at the time, oh, I should have a coffee right now, but oh, I wouldn't have to have a coffee, but oh, it won't matter in the long run. It's just $2. But think about it, $2 versus $100,000 if you made that decision consistently. That's the hard part, the consistent. We never understand that consistency part. That is the thing that we all struggle with, I think, in this culture. We're not consistent. We'll make that decision once or twice, but keeping up that decision is the hardest part. Okay, next example. Exercise. Just a few minutes a day. What if you put in 10 minutes a day to exercise? That's hardly any of your day. You do that 10 minutes a day. Big difference.
Wow. I've thought about this, and what I always think is like, okay, eventually at some point, I'm going to go on this major exercise, 30-day, super cool.
And you keep
cool
sitting
plan.
Here thinking, I'll go on this 30-day plan maybe next month. And think about all this time that you could have been doing 10 minutes a day. I mean, I do the same thing. It's a problem I think we all have. Okay, when we started this podcast, you talked about how you were trying to read books and get through like 2 pages a night because that's all the time you had for it.
I did do that, yeah, and I read a whole book doing that.
Honestly, when I heard you say that, I thought, what are you thinking? Read 2 pages a night? It doesn't make any difference. That's what I was thinking when you said it. Now I read this book and I am convicted because I do not do that, because I don't do the small things in things like that are so small feeling but are so easy to do that could have added up to a whole book or something that I wouldn't have read that book if I hadn't done that.
Yeah. I actually did read a whole book like that. I read for 1 minute every night. Well, it ended up being more than that normally, but,
So, man, I apologize for thinking, man, you are crazy reading just 2 pages a night and thinking that's going to get you somewhere, because it actually did. You got through a whole book that I didn't get through by reading no pages a night because I thought it's not worth my time to read 2 pages when it won't make a big difference. So, hey, congrats to you. You got the system down already. You're getting started.
Yeah, and I wish I could do that in other areas of my life. Wow.
How about like if every day you told someone how much you appreciate them? Just take 2 minutes. Write them an email or a text. Write someone every day.
Wow, that's actually something I really need to do. Really, wow.
Actually, there was a week where I'd heard someone say, hey, start reaching out to some people and saying, hey, what's going on with you? And so I started doing a text every morning to somebody. It actually made a difference, but I only did it for a week. What if I did that every day? Think of the relationships that would be so much deeper if you just did that every day, not just stop at a week because you're like, oh, it's not working.
So
you can't
true.
Say it's not working. You just have to keep going at it.
Yeah, like people really appreciate it when you just send them a text that you haven't seen for a while and see how it's going, And we just don't want to do that because it takes time. But if we just did that, it's just a little thing. Over 10 years, you'd have a lot of friends.
3,650 texts over 10 years. And you reached out to 3,650 people and made a difference versus think about today saying, oh, I haven't made a difference in anybody's life. Let's see. I'm going to make a difference in 3,650 people's lives. And then think about that. You made a difference in those people, but that expanded beyond that because they started making a difference in others when they saw how you were making a difference in them and how you were building them up. Well,
wow.
You do it in all one fell swoop, get all 3,000 people in one day. Number one, you're totally burnt out and won't do it again. Number two, the compounding effect never took place. They didn't do it to other people while you're doing it to them. So you got two things. It took you no effort to do it. Then it grew exponentially.
Hits home. I just thought of this that I heard recently from this talk on YouTube. I think a guy, Jordan Peterson, like a psychology professor, it was very interesting. He said that we tend to think that, you know, that we can't make a difference in the world. Basically we're never going to make a change. We're never going to do anything. And he said, in reality, it's actually pretty incredible about what one person can do in the world. I mean, you look at certain people, Mother Teresa or whatever, and he said that's because doing little things, and he gave the example of cleaning your room. If you can clean your room, start with that instead of pointing towards
start
all
with
the,
that.
I just did recently.
I did not. I still have dust bunnies all over the place.
Instead of pointing towards all the big world problems and talking about how terrible the world is, you have to start with yourself, like little things, clean your room. And over time, if you do the right things consistently over time, just like you were saying, it can affect other people, then those people affect other people. And at the end of your life, it would be amazing how many people you could impact if you did the right things consistently. But it's not going to happen quickly. Like, you're not going to become, you know, some celebrity or some, because you sold some billion-dollar app, or that's just not really realistic. It's going to be because of small choices over your whole life.
Yeah, because you're thinking, how can making the bed every day make me a millionaire? No, that doesn't make you a millionaire. It's the attitude that makes you a millionaire over the long run. It's crazy. Hey, I got another cool example. So several years ago, I heard about this guy who does artwork. And he designs art in like these square shapes. I don't remember how big they were, but they were small, like maybe 3x3 or 5x5. And he does it in 15 or 25 minutes a day. I forget. It was like he has a consistent time he sets for that day. And he just fills up that 3x3 or 5x5 or whatever. And he does one a day. And his entire wall of his studio is covered in these little pictures he's done over the entire time he's been doing the system. He's got this entire wall of all these little pictures that took him literally 15 or 25 minutes a day. And he's got this huge result to show for it out of what he grew out of that. Versus being an artist, you could have just done one piece in a longer period of time. This made a bigger impact for him, a little piece every day.
Wow. Yeah, I actually have a friend who used to draw every day at work. In the break room, he would draw little funny pictures. And he had like a couple hundred stacked all over the wall at the
really?
End of the year. It was crazy. Anyway, yeah, it's amazing how little things just add up. And it's so simple. Most of these ideas are very simple. I've heard it so many times. You know, the little things are what matter. But we just don't realize, we don't live our life in that way. Like, we don't live our life in the way that the little things, as if the little things mattered.
Yeah, we live our life looking just at the product. We want to be such and such.
Yeah.
But you can't focus on just that. You got to focus on, how do you live that thing today? How do you make the decision today that's small, that you don't make the wrong decision, because it's just as easy to make the wrong decision as the right decision. You go for the right decision no matter how hard or simple it is. And you just got to realize, don't look back at tomorrow. Look back way back. I mean, don't look back at tomorrow.
Wow.
Don't look back at yesterday.
Yeah. Okay.
Look way back, because it's only when you look over a long stretch of time you'll see a difference, not in the short stretch. And we're so focused on every day now in our lives that we don't understand that. Man, as fun as this has been, how about we wrap this up?
All right, sounds good.
So if you want to hear more books like The Slight Edge, you got to stay tuned, because we do books like this every week, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not quite this good, but we do a business book or a personal development book every week, and we use an accelerated skim read approach where we can take in more points in less time by enabling you to focus on just reading the book in 3 hours, and then you can spend your other time focusing on ideas from other books.
It's changed everything. I'm just telling Spencer this week that people are missing so much by not reading.
Totally. Right? I was thinking the same thing. Like, if I had not picked up The Slight Edge, I would be a different person by not having read it. Now I am a totally improved person by having read it, at least in mind. Now it comes to action, and that's where the real trial comes.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, there's so much valuable information that is so simple, yet so hard to do that people just don't realize. And that's why reading is, like, so important. Like, it'd be amazing to read a book, like, you know, every week for the next year. I can't imagine where I'd be in 5 years reading a book every week.
250 books plus. That would be amazing. Man, that'd be fun to do.
So anyway, if you want to get a free book so you can start reading, leave a review for our podcast. Go to motivationminute.com/review.
It's that easy.
Yeah, and then also send us a note, send us an email on our website that said that you left a review, so then we'll enter you into a drawing so you can win a free book.
And we've got a special drawing coming up where you have the ability to either win a free book, win the chance to suggest a book to us to feature, or become a co-host for an episode.
Yeah,
how about that?
So basically you can interact, you know, we want whoever wants to interact in our episodes, you can come on and talk about a book, or you can recommend a book for us, or you can win a free book. So your choice.
So I don't know, Jiraiya. I don't know if we can live up to this next week. I mean, can we get any better than The Slight Edge?
Well, it's been getting better every week, so I wouldn't be surprised, although it's hard to believe, right now.
Yeah, right now it's hard to believe, but hey, this is fun, and we're getting the cumulative effect. This was just one of those really nice bumps along that geometric curve that feels flat.
Cool.
All right, sounds good, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.